Not. Itam. In this way. Pumsam. Of persons. Viragaha. Renunciation. Syat. Is possible. Tvaya. By you. Kivalina Misha. Possessing knowledge falsely. Manyase, you think. Yade, if. Upashamam, a renunciation of material enjoyment. Snehapasha, the bonds of affection. Nikrintanam, cutting. Translation, Prajapati Daksha continued, if you think that simply awakening the sense of renunciation will detach you, attach one from the material world, I must say that unless full knowledge is awakened, simply changing dresses as you have done cannot possibly bring detachment. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prajapati Daksha was correct in stating that changing one's dress cannot detach one from this material world. The sannyasis of Kali Yuga, who change their robes from white to saffron and then think they can do whatever they like, are more abominable than the materialistic grahasthas. This is not recommended anywhere. Prajapati Daksha was right in pointing out this defect. And he did not know that Narada Muni, but he did not know that Narada Muni had aroused the spirit of renunciation in the Haryashvas and Savalashvas through full knowledge. Such enlightened renunciation is desirable. One should enter the renounce order with full knowledge, jnana vairagya. For the perfection of life is possible for one who renounces this material world in that way. This elevated stage can be reached very easily as supported by the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 7. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Yashu Vairagyam Yanam Jatayada Hoitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of God at Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. If one seriously engages in devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, jnana and vairagya are automatically manifest in one's person. There's no doubt of this. Prajapati Daksha's accusation that Narada had not actually elevated his sons to the platform of knowledge was not factual. All the sons of Prajapati Daksha had first been raised to the platform of jnana and then had then automatically renounced this world. In summary, unless one's knowledge is awakened, renunciation cannot take place, for without elevated knowledge, one cannot give up attachment for material enjoyment. So, Netam pumsam viragasyat tvaya kevalena amrsha manyase yadyupashamam sneha pasha nikrintanam. So omagana timadandasha gananjana shlakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So, we're going to talk about how to renounce this world, which is an interesting subject matter. Of course, Daksha is right that if you simply awaken just the knowledge that this material world is temporary, it's not going to ultimately make you detach from this material world. In fact, you'll be a pretender because the attachment for sense enjoyment will still remain, according to Krishna and the Gita. So there's many different yoga processes that are there in the Vedic system for trying to become detached from this material world. Of course, you have the Sankhya yoga practice. Sankhya, the word Sankhya means to count. In other words, you're counting or enumerating the various material elements, like earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and also you have the active senses and the perceptive senses. What I mean by that is the active senses are, you know, things like your legs and your mouth and different things like that. And the perceptive senses are the normal perceptive senses. Then you have the mind, intelligence, false ego. And of course, then ultimately is the soul, the super soul in theistic Sankhya. So that process of Sankhya is a very difficult process to follow in order to become detached from the material world. So that's one way that people try to become detached. Another way is through the Hatha Yoga system or Patanjali's Yoga system. And that's the system of Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. That is, avoiding bad things, things that are not productive to advancement in yoga, and then accepting what is, like Krishna described in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, like going to a secluded place, not associating with anybody, and then asana, sitting in a certain position. Of course, it's not that the asanas in and of themselves will help one become detached, but it's interesting, the asanas that were taught by Patanjali were just like one or two asanas, not like nowadays that you have these different yogis who can do thousands of asanas, like one of my disciples, which is good. He uses it for attracting people to Krishna consciousness, which is utility is the principle, or asanas are the principle. So, but really it's just learning how to sit so you don't get uncomfortable after some time. Because if you're sitting for a long period of time, then after a while, you know, your legs fall asleep, your feet fall asleep or something like that. Like, you know, I'm sitting here, sometimes I have to keep moving my feet because I don't know the asanas so well. So, and then pranayam, controlling the breathing, so you can control the life airs within the body. So ultimately, the whole point is to stop the turning of the mind, to control the mind of this Hatha Yoga process, and then ultimately to focus yourself on Ishvara, Patanjali describes. Ishvara, of course, is God. That's the name of God. That's a secondary name of God. Of course, we're fortunate we have a primary name of God, which is Krishna, Govinda. Another names of God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, etc. So, anyway, so that process is very, very difficult. And of course, we know in the Gita, Arjuna says to Krishna, after he describes a part of that process, Arjuna says, Chanchala hi manaha Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vai or ivashidushkaram. It's very difficult to control the mind, it's more turbulent than the wind. So Krishna answers, actually one can do it by constant practice and detachment. So the practice that Krishna recommends in the Gita is the practice of bhakti. And actually, Prabhupada said at one point that bhakti is not actually a practice. So what did Prabhupada mean? That it's not, and we talk about the practice of bhakti yoga, and bhakti is not a practice, because it's not simply an external practice. I mean, you can do everything perfectly in bhakti yoga, you know, in Krishna consciousness, follow all the rules and regulations perfectly, but not make any spiritual advancement. And that's called niyam agraha, where one follows all the rules and regulations and doesn't have his mind fixed on Krishna and is not thinking of Krishna in a devotional sense. So how do we become detached within bhakti yoga, which is the practice we're supposed to be following, the practice or the mentality we're supposed to be following. So how does one become detached doing what we're doing? That's a good question. So there's different ways that one becomes detached based upon one's level of spiritual advancement. Of course, when one is completely Krishna conscious, one is detached because one is identifying oneself with one's spiritual body. We all have a spiritual body, right? And that body has not been recognized or is not recognized by us right now. We all have one of the different rasas in relationship with Krishna. And so when you realize that you are a gopi or a tree or a cow or a coward boy or whatever in the spiritual world, or Krishna's mother and father, or in that relationship, then that's what you're identifying yourself with. And then there's obviously, you know, whatever happens with the external body, it's not really important at all. It's just something that's there. It's like you're watching a television show. You can turn it off, you can turn it on. It doesn't really matter except for its service to Krishna. But that platform is a very elevated platform. And I don't think too many of us are on that platform of devotional service. So how do we become detached? Using bhakti, not using jnana. Of course, jnana is necessary, actually. That's brought forth in the Jiva Dharma. It's necessary to understand the tattvas. It's necessary to understand about the modes of material nature. Just like we were reading last night from the 14th chapter of the Gita, verses 22 to 25. Remember that? 22 to 25. And actually in text 22 to 25 in chapter 14. And Arjuna asked the question in the 21st text, you know, by what is one known who is transcendental above the modes of nature? How does he act, etc., etc., etc.? So it describes in that particular verse that even though there may be illumination, that means mode of goodness, or, you know, hankering attachment, which means mode of passion, or I forget the word used for ignorance, but anyway, even though one may experience these things in his mind, because a pure devotee is not experiencing those things in his mind, I guarantee, not from first-hand experience, that's not what I'm saying. For the pure devotee, his mind is Kabehama, Hey Rabo, Sri Vrindavana. It's described in the higher stages of devotional service even, that a advanced devotee, when he tries to think, oh, you're out. Good to see you. Welcome. So when an advanced devotee tries to think of Maya, his mind naturally gravitates towards Krishna. And when we try to think of Krishna, what happens? Our mind gravitates towards Maya. So it's the opposite situation. I'm trying to think of Krishna, the mind just goes, what about your mobile phone? What about politics? What about whatever? So on our platform of devotional service, then that particular verse describes our platform of devotional service, that we see sometimes the mode of goodness affects us. We have to be able to identify what the modes of nature are. That's really important. Like we should think, oh, the mode of goodness is affecting my mind. That's why I'm looking at the stars and thinking, twinkle, twinkle, little star. What is the rest of that? How I wonder what you are. Up upon the sky, so bright. Anyway, whatever. I forget that whole poem. Maybe you, any of you have heard that poem? No. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. So, you know, looking at the stars at night, or God forbid, like we mentioned yesterday, you're looking at an eclipse, thinking, oh, how beautiful that eclipse is. Very inauspicious, of course. So, then you just think, well, this is the mode of goodness. That's jnana, you understand? So you can identify. You don't think it's something else. You don't. Of course, it's also Krishna's beauty, Krishna's intelligence, and all that other stuff like that. You know, when I investigate or I do some research in what we were describing on Sunday, intelligent design, I look at the cell and I just go, wow, Krishna's so great, he's so intelligent. That's all right. But generally when we're appreciating nature, then we forget about Krishna. And so therefore we should bring the philosophy into our mind. That's just the mode of goodness infecting my mind. And that mode of goodness is conditioning me to a sense of happiness in the material world. It's keeping me here in this material world. We should think like that. And then when we have the mind thinks that, oh, I have to get this to be happy, you know, sometimes excuse me. Sometimes we read about some, like at least me, referring to my own Maya, we read about some new gadget, electronic gadget, and we think, oh, I have to have it. That new computer, if I just call up some disciple, he'll sponsor me and buy it for me. You know, so we may think like that. I got plenty of disciples who will buy things for me, no problem. So, and I'd say, wow, look, it has all these features, the fastest processor imaginable. Isn't that cool? You know, so, because some people are attracted by cars too, you know. They look at cars like a Tesla or a Maserati or a whatever, and they say, oh, I gotta have it. And they make plans within their mind. Actually, one of my disciples works in the financial department for financing cars. You know, when you buy a car, you make payments and everything like that. Do they do that here in Slovenia? Yes. They buy. So he was telling me that people are buying cars that they can't afford, and actually, you know, let's say someone makes $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year, they'll buy a car for $60,000 or $70,000. You know, and they'll pay it off with a high interest rate, and the bank is making so much money, and he's happy because he's making a lot of money supporting his family and getting all the toys and everything his family wants. So anyway, so then one should be able to say, that's the mode of passion. It's not real. I mean, it's not real in terms of, you know, nasato vijate bhavo nabo bo vijate sato ubayo api drishto antas twanias tatva darshavi. Like it's things that are temporary and not real, because it's going to come and go. The bones are always, as says the 14th chapter of the Gita. What mode was that? So anyway, so it says in the 14th chapter of the Gita, the modes are always in struggling for supremacy. Sometimes the mode of goodness is present, defeating passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion is present, defeating goodness and ignorance, etc. So it's temporary. It's not real. You know, it's just going to come and go. That's it. So why meditate on the thing? It's just the modes of being active, Krishna says, and nothing else. And because that may destroy all your romantic dreams about this world, all the loving exchanges you have. You know, you look at your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's just the modes. Do you love me? It's just the modes. That's not my advice to say that. Because that will destroy whatever relationship you might have. So in this world, Prabhupada actually says, in this world, we have to act like we're attached sometimes just to be practical, right? Of course, we're attached to Krishna, I understand. That's not the modes of nature. You know, our attachment to Krishna, attachment to our spiritual master, attachment to chanting holy names, is not the modes of nature. But just to be functional in this world, you have to act like we're attached. You know, someone in a loving relationship asks, are you attached to me? Yes. Somehow or other. We have to keep a straight face. Straight face means we can't start laughing. You touch me. Yes. Am I beautiful? Yes. So Panchatattva is beautiful. That's not the modes of nature. You know. Anyway, so that's the mode of passion. Just say that's it. It's Rajagun, Prabhu. And then, of course, the mode of ignorance is when we feel like just going to sleep and just like getting rid of this world, goodbye, cruel world. You know, I've had it too much. Prabhu, leave me alone. Like this. So we should be able to just understand it's the modes of nature acting. That's jnana. And that's the beginning of a little detachment from the world. But that's not really permanent detachment because there is something called the Papa Bija. Papa in this case doesn't mean your father. Father seed. Anyway, Papa means sin because there's a desire in the heart that's there. And even through jnana, you know, you can keep it at bay for some time. Or if you fast a lot, you know, the desires aren't manifest. But as soon as you start eating again, they come out, you know, if you just fast, you say, oh, I have no desires in this world. I'm just, it's so nice to be free of desires. And then as soon as you start eating, they just like overwhelm you again. So, therefore, the whole point is to purify the heart. And of course, that's the process, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. But if we want to really purify the heart, it's a question of bhakti, not simply chanting ritualistically. One has to chant with the right mood, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka. And one has to do things in this world out of love. Just like we were talking about yesterday, how one functions. I was describing how, you know, basically I function because I want to please Prabhupada. You know, so I'm not analyzing the material elements. I tell you, just practically revealing my mind. My own renunciation has nothing to do with analyzing the material elements, although I can identify passion, ignorance, and goodness. You know, it's not a difficult thing for me. It has everything to do with just like thinking, I want to please Prabhupada. And therefore, if someone offers me something pleasurable, even spiritual, and it's not pleasing to Prabhupada, I don't accept it. And that's really how you can achieve renunciation really quickly. That's bhakti. Because bhakti basically means love, but not simply infatuation, like we have this love in this world. But it means the concept of anyabhilashita, you know, again, if we still into a verse, anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakarma navratamanukriyana krishnanushilana bhaktirutamam. Not being concerned with subtle or gross sense gratification, just simply desiring to please the object of your love favorably. Confirmed. It's nice having. In India, they have these tiki tikis that confirm, and here we have babies. So, favorably, actively, and with a spirit of devotion. That's bhakti. And if you have that spirit of devotion, you're automatically, that's what is described here in the verse that Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavatam. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanacharya Adahaitakam. Also another verse. Yasha Devi Parabhakti Yita Devi Tata Kuru Tashayi Te Katata Yatata Prakashan Te Mahatmana. So one who is devoted to the spiritual master and has faith in the spiritual master, faith in the Vedic literatures, everything is revealed to her. Realization. Another verse. Yashasti bhakti bhagavacha kinchana sarva ganastatra samasute sura Harava Bhaktashit Gato Mahadvina Manoritena Sati Devatovihi. Another nice verse. That one who, Yashasti Bhakti Bhagavata Kitchener, the one who has bhakti for the Supreme Lord and his devotees, Sarargaras Tatra Samasute Sura. So all the good qualities, the godly qualities, arise in one by having that bhakti. So it's a very simple process, like Prabhupada points out here in the purport. It's a very simple process. You just desire to please someone. Pure devotee, Krishna, and you're automatically detached from this material world, because that's love. Very, very simple. And of course, you should have knowledge. First of all, you should know what pleases the person. That's part of bhakti. And you should have knowledge about the modes of nature, too. You should be able to identify maya, as I've stated many times before. Most of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita deal with the material world, so we can identify the different elements in the material world, when it is maya and when it is spiritual. So, anyway, so this is Krishna consciousness. I'm giving you a very easy way to become detached, and that's what Narada Muni gave to the Hariyashvas and the Savalashas. He gave them bhakti. He implanted the creeper or the seed of devotion in their hearts. And they cultivated it properly. He didn't simply give them gyan. He gave them gyan with bhakti. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
We have your life and business, so I'm going to ask the question.
Okay, what?
Is that true, what astrologers say? Or when you are surrendered to Krishna, everything goes in a different way?
Well, I don't know if the astrologers said that, but I know Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said every time you dance and chant for the deities, you clap your hands, then that's why I clap a lot. The lines on your hand change. Prabhupada said, I have created your good fortune, so you should go out and create others' good fortune. So, and that's also in the Gita. Ham tvam sarvabhavevyo moksha yishyami masuchaha. Sarvadharmam parichaya mamikam sharanam raja. I mean, actually, it's interesting, this word, sharanam. It's generally translated as surrender. But actually it means to give yourself, your heart, manasa deha geha yoga shimora vilam tuya pari nanda kishore, to give everything to Krishna. That's what's written, you know, especially giving your heart to Krishna. Just like even the word shraddha, you know, faith. Faith is not simply belief. Faith is actually shraddha. And actually it's been analyzed. I was listening to an analysis that Rita Nandamaris gave, that you could take the shraddha as the heart, like rad, rid. Da means to go or to give. Just like, yeah. Anyway, so shraddha means basically to give your heart to Krishna. And when you give your heart to Krishna, Krishna takes care of all the lines on your palm and all the planets. I'll tell you an interesting story, maybe I've told it before, that there's a period in everyone's life which is the Saturn period, Sunday. You've heard of this before? And generally, you know, it's a few years, give or take. Each devotee is different. So you have the Saturn period, and many devotees, when they're going through this period, they use it as an excuse for their nonsense. They said, I can't really surrender right now. I'm going through my Saturn period, but as soon as this period is over, watch out. Here I come. You know, it's described in the future, I'm going to be a great preacher. So there's an interesting story about Hanuman. He's my favorite person, other than Prabhupada and Krishna. So, interesting story about Hanuman. that once upon a time, it was time for Hanuman to have his Saturn period. And Saturn came to Hanuman. He said, all right, it's time. And Hanuman said, okay, just take it away, sit on my head, and, you know, influence me. So Saturn sat on the head, and then Hanuman, serving Lord Ram, took a whole lot of stones and everything and put that on top of Saturn. And Saturn was crushed. And Saturn said, save me! Not exactly like that. And then Hanuman said, well, if you leave, you'll be saved. Saturn said, I'll leave! And then Hanuman said, I want the benediction. Anyone who worships me or serves Ram, Saturn will only stay there for a few seconds. It's an interesting story. So the point is, if you worship Krishna and you chant his names and you love Krishna, don't you think Krishna will protect you from that? I mean, I have perfect personal experience of that. Many astrologers were saying that I was supposed to die when I was 55 years old. I was waiting, counting down the days. You know, back to Godhead, you know, Pariksit Maharaj ki jai, you know. You know, like Pariksit Maharaj, it's actually nice to have a warning. Like, what, Katvanga. You know Maharaj Katvanga? He was fighting for the demigods. They said, whatever benediction you want, you can have a mobile phone, whatever you want. And he didn't say that, obviously. And he said, I just want to know when I'm going to die. And they said, well, a few moments. In a moment. And he came down, he said, Jahari Bo, came down to the earth planet, back to Godhead. Surrender to Krishna, back to Godhead. Why the earth planet? Because that's much better to surrender to Krishna on the earth planet than is in the heavenly planets, because in the heavenly planets everything is really good. Mangoes are as big as this building. So, maybe we chant the holy names, you won't cry. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Oh, he wanted his father. That's nice. So, I was getting back to the story. So I was thinking, you know, I'm going back to Godhead. Pretty nice. Got ready to say goodbye to everybody. Wrote my will, even. I leave my V bag to whatever. Everything I own in the world. Actually wrote a will. And I also wrote a power of attorney, you know, healthcare power of attorney. So, you know, if it happened that I was knocked unconscious, someone could just decide to pull the plug. Back to Godhead, just chant my ears, they pulled the plug out. So, it didn't happen. I said, oh my God, why didn't it happen? I was very disappointed. Not really. But I guess Krishna just changed everything, and all the astrologers were thinking, oh my God, he's supposed to die. And I said, here I am. And they said, oh, you become a ghost. So, obviously, maybe it would have been better. I wouldn't have been here to harass everybody. But anyway, so what happened is that Krishna took care of it. And actually, you know, another thing is that I went to one of my astrologers. Actually, it's interesting. I went to Prahlad Nandamaharaj, who's an expert astrologer. He's one of my astrologers. And he is so intelligent, he remembers everybody's birthday and time of birth and their planets for everybody, all the GBC. I mean, amazing memory he has. So I went to him and I said, Mars, what's in store for me? He said, this is going to be the worst year for you. And I go, oh, maybe I should just, you know, hide in the closet for the year or something. So the year went on. It was actually the best year I ever had. You know, I mean, I just want, what happened? you know, just like it was ecstatic, Krishna conscious, traveling around the world, you know, and everybody, for 1 year, at least for 1 year, everybody was nice to me. So, and I understood it was the Krishna factor, so. And I said, it's really nice. I told him at the end of the year, I said, it's been a really nice year. And he said, well, Krishna. So, the Prabhupada at one point said, let's hear what the astrologer has to say, let's have a good laugh. So, I'm not decrying or criticizing astrology. It can be used for certain things to determine compatibility. If one wants to get married, but you know, it's not really part of my objective in life. So, you know, certain things are used for, but generally there's the Krishna factor. So we don't worry about it. I just chant and serve Krishna, and, you know, and Rahu can be nice, because Rahu, Saturn can be nice, because they encourage us to be detached from this world, right? For a devotee. Nothing's inauspicious. Vishra Purna Shukayate. The whole material world's blissful. Could use it to serve Krishna. Because I'm not saying I realized that yet. Alright, so any other questions? Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Can it relate to yesterday's lecture?
About what specific part of yesterday's lecture?
You mentioned, you said something because I wanted to, I didn't get the opportunity, but I can ask.
Well, the conclusion of yesterday's lecture is that members of the Krishna Conscious Movement should be trying to please Prabhupada and act in such a way.
Yeah, it's related to that, yes. I wanted to ask, it was interesting to me because I've never heard before you mentioned that actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave the same instruction to many of his disciples.
Yes.
But because as I understood it, I thought that our Acharya got it on his first darshan.
He did.
And then I thought it was kind of easy for him. He got this precise instruction and took it as a life and soul and pushed it through whole his life. But because I thought Maharaj never gave me any instruction. I mean, I'm not Prabhupada, but anyway, then I thought it would be nice to get such an instruction. But actually, you can take any instruction Maharaj gives anywhere and take it as a life and soul.
Yes, all the instructions, yeah.
Pursue the goal. But then you might feel like an idiot. Maybe I'm taking some big instruction and pursue it as life and soul, but actually I'm not qualified. What about that? I mean, because he was qualified, but what?
Well, any instruction you get from the spiritual master contains within it the success potency of the Supreme Personality.
Any instruction, even if you give this to a public lecture. Like,
no, a personal instruction. You know, if he says in a public lecture, you know, I probably many times have said, eat enough prasadam so it comes out of your mouth. That's an instruction from Prabhupada. Now, I don't follow that instruction from Prabhupada. I did when I was young. That's one instruction I used to follow that I don't follow anymore. Because obviously when I first joined the movement, I not only ate so much that it came up to the throat, I was in so much pain after I ate prasadam. I would lie on my side groaning, and the devotees would say, lie on your left side, because your liver is on your right side. So therefore, it'll be less painful to lie on your left side. I mean, so I did follow that instruction. Now I'm disobeying that instruction of Prabhupada, and I don't feel guilty about it. So there's certain instructions that are very specific. And that specific instruction that Prabhupada got from his guru, you know, you're educated young boys, you should preach Chaitanya's message in English. It's a very specific instruction to Prabhupada and his friend also, Naren. And it wasn't a general instruction. But that instruction was given, I mean, obviously it was given to many of Prabhupada's godbrothers because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent people to the West. And he paid for them. He sent money so they could be there in the West. And he was, anyway, for one reason or other, he wasn't so pleased with what they achieved or didn't achieve in the Western world. But he really wanted that. You know, he wanted English language. I mean, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur established an English language paper. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted that. So it wasn't instruction given to those who could do it, who spoke English. Obviously, Prabhupada was educated in English, Scottish Church's College, so he was quite fluent in English, as we can hear. And Prabhupada took that instruction as his life and soul. So any direct instruction you get, I mean, it may be a time, place, and circumstance instruction. Like, for example, I got instruction from Prabhupada when I was in South America to, this is actually part of it's a funny instruction. The result was funny. So part of his instruction was to not be satisfied until everybody in South America had his books. So right now I'm not working in South America. So that was a time, place, and circumstance instruction. I'll tell you the funny part of the instruction. Prabhupada said, cooperate with Sri Dayananda Maharaj. The reason it's funny is that now, as everybody knows, Sri Dayananda Maharaj is a little controversial sometimes. So many members of the GBC, they say, why are you always supporting Sri Dayananda Maharaj? I said, Prabhupada's instruction. And that they, of course, say, that was a time, place, and circumstance instruction. That instruction doesn't apply anymore. Use your own brain. And I say, well, I can't disobey Prabhupada's instruction. So there's an instance of using instructions you get from Prabhupada to serve your own purposes. Which is, you know, that you shouldn't do that either. I'm a bad example so far as that. But it's not really serving my own purposes because, it is actually, because I do accept a lot of the things that Vedanta Maharaj is teaching about preaching to the Western world, so. But anyway, so we do get instructions from Prabhupada or from our spiritual master. There are time, place, and circumstance instructions. But the instruction to preach in the Western world, and actually, even the last letter that Prabhupada got from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, Prabhupada wrote, this was like a fortnight, 2 weeks before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world. That was the same instruction. So here, it was obviously something that was on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mind continually. You know, how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Prabhupada understood, just like Rupa Goswami, he understood the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why we chant, isn't it? Mano Vishtam, Stavitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadabhayam Tadati Swapadantikam. Right? Rupa Goswami, Mano Vishtam, he's actually understood Lord Chaitanya's intention. So Prabhupada understood Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's intention. And that also means that indicates that his position, his superlative position, he understood the intention was to spread Krishna consciousness to all the world, not just to make another math in India. So it's important. Anyway, it's important to meditate on the intention and the words of the spiritual master. And if there's any question, then you ask your older devotees, you know, older devotees in the Krishna consciousness, mature devotees who are Krishna conscious. So any other questions or comments? It's time for prasadam. Yes, exactly time. In certain temples, they actually have a sign right under the clock. Don't go later than 9 o'clock. You don't have a sign here. But no. Where is it? Oh! But it doesn't say, don't go later. It just says, you know, 8:45. I'm actually disobeying the Acharya's instructions by doing that. So, but anyway, they have a big sign, because you look up the clock and it says, don't go later. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.